It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 25, verse 23 is where we're going to begin reading today. So please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 25, verse 23. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and begin for the study today. It's going to be a great study, as each time that we open the Word of God, God's Word is a blessing to us because it's God's living Word, and He speaks to us through His Word. So please, that we study today, Exodus chapter 25, beginning to read with verse 23. Thou shalt also make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of an hand breadth round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about, and thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in 4 corners of 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be 4 places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and the spoons thereof, and cover thereof, and bowls thereof, and cover withal of pure gold shalt thou make them. And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always. Now that is the reading of the scripture for the table. Now we're going to go ahead and continue here, and we're going to do the candlestick as well. And thou shalt make, this is verse 31, thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft, his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it, 3 branches of the candlestick out of one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side. 3 bowls made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower and a branch, and 3 bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with the knop and a flower, so in the 6 branches that come out of the candlestick. In the candlestick shall be 4 bowls made like unto almonds, with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be a knop under 2 branches of the same, a knop under 2 branches of the same, a knop under 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops, their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be 1 beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the 7 lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. The tongs thereof and the sniff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. Of 1 talent of pure gold shall he make it, with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern, that which showed thee in the mount. Now we're going to end there and begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time of study. We thank you for your living word. Please speak to our hearts now, and please that all that are listening, that they will come by faith to you for salvation, and then they'll walk by faith with you each and every day, growing closer and closer to you. Please, dear Lord, that this be the day that all that are listening will finally surrender and trust in you. We're going to be talking, dear Father, about a lot of things today, and I hope that the ears are set to listen, that all will listen. I love your word. I love studying your word. I love teaching your word. So please, today, use me to reach the lost and use me to feed the saved. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful day we have to come to look to the Word of God, and we look at the table here. And before we start with the table, I want to backtrack just a little bit, as you know that I often do, or almost always do. We're looking at something that is a figure, it's a type, it's a shadow. This tabernacle was only a shadow of something greater, which still lay in the future. And it was not talking about Solomon's temple, it was not talking about Zerubbabel's temple, it was not talking about Herod's temple, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we're talking about. And we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to read some verses of Scripture here that speak so clearly of that. Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to start with the 11th verse and read through the 14th verse. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. And again, here we're talking about Herod's temple. We've been from the tabernacle that hasn't even been built yet, from the tabernacle to Solomon's temple to Zerubbabel's temple on to Herod's temple, and then we know there's going to be a couple of more. We've got the tribulation temple, and then we're going to have the millennial temple. And so there's much to be spoken of here, but here it's very clearly this tabernacle is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Beautiful scripture verses here. Jesus Christ becomes our high priest. Jesus Christ is the picture of this. The tabernacle is a picture of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we look at this building, this tabernacle, back into the book of Exodus as we move back to the 25th chapter again. We have looked at the tabernacle materials that they were given. We just, for a few minutes, looked at the ark. We're going to go back to the Ark of the Covenant later. We're going to kind of work our way through. We're starting with the items, the furnishings of the tabernacle proper. And so we have seven pieces of furniture. Of course, we know that the number seven through the scripture is a number of perfection, of completeness. We have two in the courtyard out front. We have three in the holy place, which is the first room. And then we have two in the Holy of Holies. Just to kind of refresh your memory a little bit, as we have so much going on from one study to the next, we know that the courtyard is 150 foot long and 75 foot wide. We know that it has a curtain around it that is 7.5 feet tall. We know that there is a building, a tent-fashioned building, in the back part towards the west of this courtyard, this 150 by 75. We know that building is 45 feet by 15 feet. It has two rooms. The first room coming from the east going west. The first room is 15 foot wide and 30 foot long. The second room is like a cube. It's 15 by 15 by 15 because you see that the ceiling height inside is 15 foot tall. The curtain side on the courtyard outside is 7.5 feet high. I want you to remember those things. We are entering in from the east going west. We find, first of all, we find the altar, the brazen altar, and we come to that. First of all, we must come. We can come no further without having a sacrifice for our sins. Something has to take our sin away. There's nothing we can do that can take care of it. And Jesus Christ did. He took care of it. But for the period of time, the picture of the coming Messiah, we find that first of all, before they could enter any further, there was an offering of a sacrifice. And that sacrifice, of course, we know was innocent. We know that sacrifice had the shedding of blood. That sacrifice had to die. There are many things that are exactly like our Lord Jesus Christ when he come to take our sins away. The second piece of furniture, the article in the courtyard, was a laver, a brazen laver, the washing. We speak of the washing of the Word quite often, and we'll continue to take a look at that. Let's move on into the room, the holy place. The Holy of Holies is on to the west. It's in, again, this room that's 15 by 15. But if you'll back up to the first room, the 15 by 30, you'll find in that room the table of showbread and the lampstand and the incense altar. There are three pieces of furniture, articles of furniture in that room. You move on into the Holy of Holies. We find that there is the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat that is there with the cherubims on each side as their wings are outstretched, and the Shekinah glory cloud, the very presence, the glory of God came down to meet with the people and the people with our God there in that room, that Holy of Holies. And right now we're in the holy place. We have the table of showbread. We have just read about the table of showbread, and now we're going to finish looking at the table of showbread and then on to the lampstand today. And so I'm glad that you have joined us again in the scripture. This building is called the Tabernacle of Witness in Numbers. In Revelations, it's the Tabernacle of Testimony, makes a reference. And then in Exodus 33:7, it's the Tabernacle of Congregation. It's the tent of meeting. And again, it's a place where man meets God and God meets man. This meeting place was the only place where God had separated his people and brought his people before him. And so we have looked at that in times past. Now, let's begin with the table. The table is a very important part of this. We have the first brazen altar, then we have the brazen laver, and now we've entered into the holy place. And the first piece of furniture article that we have is the table of showbread. And it gives us the directions and the size. We find it's 2 cubits. And a cubit basically is about 18 inches. It can change. It can vary a little bit. But basically, it's about 18 inches. And so with the 2 cubits, why we see that it's about 36 inches long. And we find it to be about 18 inches wide, because it was 1 cubit wide. And then it was 1.5 cubits in height, and so that would be 27 inches. Now, I would like for you to kind of see that in your mind, because this table of showbread was not a large table. You know, there's coffee tables that are larger than this. 36 inches long, that would be 3 foot, 1.5 feet wide. And then it was 27 inches tall. And so as we look at the And so we're just a little more than 2 feet tall. And so if you could look at that, kind of get that pictured in your mind, up on this table of showbread, we have 12 loaves of bread, and they were flavored with frankincense. That was food for the priests. We know that because the Word of God later will tell us. That is the only purpose is for the bread. There wasn't a pitcher of water. There was no radio. There was nothing sitting on this table of showbread except for the bread itself. Now, it does speak of things, bowls and things like that, only used for the eating. And again, there was the bread, basically, the 12 loaves are sitting on that. There are 12 tribes of Israel. And it is always thought that we have one loaf for each tribe, the 12 tribes. The purpose of this is, of course, fellowship. We come after we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what takes place at the altar, the brazen altar out front. We come by faith, trusting that this sacrifice that was offered covers our sins. Well, Jesus Christ not only covers our sins, Jesus Christ takes our sins away. But you see, Jesus had not died on the cross yet. We're some 1,500 years away from that. And so as we await the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the only thing they could do is bring this offering, this sacrifice, believing that it would cover their sin. And it did. It covered their sins. And so they come believing. And then when they come, they would wash. They always had to wash. And the washing of the Word is so important. And then comes this sweet, wonderful fellowship. And that fellowship comes over the feeding of the Word of God. You know, the washing is what kind of hurts sometimes, because we got sin in our life, and we get to scrubbing and trying to clean and get ourselves clean. You know, you can get the dirt or grease or something on your hands, and all you just scrub and scrub and scrub trying to get that off, all to the point that you think it's going to scrub your the layer of skin is going to come off, and probably does by the time you get that old grease or old dirt off, and it doesn't feel very good. But when you get done, you're clean. Well, it's the same thing with the Word. The Word is going to scrub, and it's going to work on us to where it may hurt, and it may be the most uncomfortable thing, but it's very necessary that we be clean. And then we can come in and feed upon this showbread that is at this table. And we've kind of looked at the size of it there. And, you know, we again, in order to have fellowship, and the word today, worship, is really, really misused. Because people that they come and they would come to a music concert or something like that, and they, we have come to worship the Lord. Well, here's what you need to do in order to worship. You need first to be born again. You need to trust by faith in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can come no other way. You must come by way of the cross. You must trust in Jesus. Then you need to go into God's Word and begin to watch Him wash you and clean you, because that's so important. And so many folks today remain filthy, dirty, even though they have come by faith to the Lord Jesus. They refuse to look to the Word of God, believe the doctrines of God's Word, follow them so that they can have this pure, clean life that they need to have. They refuse that. And so, but now we have those two. We have number one, the salvation that's at the brazen altar. Next, we have the washing that comes at the laver. Then we come in for the fellowship at the table of showbread. We feed upon God's Word. We feed upon the Word. And so now we have been saved, born again by the Word of God. We have been washed by the Word of God, which hurts. And then we come and we've been fed. We feed upon the Word of God, studying the truths, the doctrines of the Word of God, you know, and not ignoring them. Today, they're ignored. They're ignored for unity. Everything is set aside. Well, my friend, there is no worship. You can tell it whatever you want to. You can call it whatever you want to, but it's not worship until you have been born again. You've been washed by the Word. You have been fed. You feed upon the Word of God. And then comes a time of prayer, because next we have the incense altar that's beyond this. And so we can do that only by the light of the Lord Jesus, which is the lampstand, the next item we're going to look at. You go to the Lord in prayer by the light of the Lord Jesus, and then and only then can you enter into the Holy of Holies for worship. Only then. And that doesn't sound like going to a concert and waving your hands and saying, oh, I worship God, I'm worshiping God. No, you're not. In most cases, you're not even in fellowship, because in most cases, you haven't been washed. You refuse the washing, because that's what the Word of God, the doctrines of God's Word will do to you, and you don't like it. And so we ignore those. And that's how you can come together with so many different denominations, so many different beliefs, and say that you're worshiping, because number one, most are not saved. Number two, most are not washed. Number three, most do not feed upon the Word of God. Next, they are not walking by the light of the Lord Jesus. They're walking by the light of the devil. And they come, and then they need to be in prayer, and then and only then can they go in. And most of the time, my friend, that's not done at church. That's not done at some concert. That's done in your prayer closet. That's done when you're alone with the Lord. Because the fellowship is the feeding of the Word, and that's what you receive at church when you come Sunday morning, a Bible study, things like that. That's the feeding upon the Word. It could be a combination of worshiping and feeding both. Or worship and fellowship. The washing and the fellowship, but the worship, you're worshiping the Lord, doesn't come until you've been washed. And then you must, after you've been washed, you need to be fed. And then you can truly glorify and worship God. And only then. Take that to mind. This table of showbread, they feed, they nourish themselves. Washing comes first, the nourishing comes next. We've talked about the washing of this laver that's out front, and we've talked about how that my mother and my grandmother, when I would come in, I had to wash before I could eat. And so keep that in mind, the washing and then the eating, and then after this would come the worship in God's plan. And so please, we feed upon the Word, and that Word that nourishes us and that strengthens us. What wonderful fellowship we have when we come in to the Word of God and fellowship over it and feed upon it. Now we come from there, this table, and this table, if you'll notice, is set on the north side inside the tabernacle in this tent. The tent, again, I'll repeat this several times, is 45 by 15 feet. So when you enter in, you'll notice that it is on the north side of this first room. That's where it's set. And then right across, we find this lampstand that we read about. And so we have the lampstand, and it gives us quite a description as we read through this lampstand. And it closes this description from verse 31 to verse 40. And the 40th verse, it says, "And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount." Again, Moses has seen exactly how this thing is supposed to be designed and built. And so the only thing that we're going to really attempt to do is, it speaks of the flowers and the branches and the bowls and all those things. We know that it has three branches out each side and one main stem. We know that. And again, as we come into this holy place, we see and we know that we are saved by the blood at the altar. We're washed by the Word at the laver. We're fed by the Word at the table. Now we're ready We're ready. And the only way that this washing and this table, this feeding upon the table can come when we come in, the washing is outside. When we come into the presence, come in to fellowship, preparing for worship, when we come in, there's only one way that you can truly feed upon the Word of God, and that is by the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit that shines forth, that allows us to see the truth. And this all comes on and in the Word of God. People today want to get rid of the doctrines that are in God's Word in the name of unity. There is no unity until we come in agreement over the Word of God, the doctrines of the Word of God. That's where the difference is at. And it's beyond me how that all these different groups can come together and they call it wonderful fellowship. We're fellowshipping over one thing, and that is the Word of God, the Word and the truths that be found in it. Now, how can you fellowship over something if you are not in agreement with it? Well, we don't worry about those things. Well, you should, and you better, because God is so concerned, and God keeps us and holds us accountable for keeping His Word and walking in His Word and fellowshipping in His Word and feeding upon His Word. That's what He is keeping us responsible for. And so now we look at this light. To begin with, there is no light. This lampstand that sits in there is no natural light, none. The natural light allows us to use our own way and our own plan. And we could say and use a word there for human reasoning, philosophy. Natural light. We must walk by faith, not by human reasoning. And that's the reason that all these people can come together. That's the reason that the ecumenical movement is so prevalent today. It is because human reasoning has come in and decided that this is best. God says, no, I don't want any outside light. I don't want any human reasoning to this thing. I want it all my way and my plan, God says. So when you walk into this first room, the holy place, there is one light, this lampstand, because we can only study God's Word by His light, by the Holy Spirit, and the oil that's in the cups that causes the light to burn. The lampstand is pure gold, we see. We find that there is no size to this lampstand. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no dimensions to Him. There is no way. We'll go back to Noah and the ark. Remember that the door, there was no dimensions to the door. Do you remember that? The reason is because all can come by faith to Jesus Christ. And this lampstand, it will give you all the light you need to walk the Christian life that you need. It'll give you all the light you need to fellowship over His Word and to consume His Word and to study His Word. The bread of life is upon that table, and we need to eat it, consume it, and enjoy it. There is no other light. Now you think about the light that you're using to study the Word of God. You think the light that you're using when you come together with these social activities that the ecumenical movement has brought on. When you look at all these activities, and there's many of them going on right now, and they're big time, they're big numbers, And so that makes it right. Well, it's not right because God tells us it's not right. We need to walk only by His light and not by this human reasoning that we have. This brings about evolution. It brings about a blindness to the beauty of God. You must trust by faith in Jesus Christ. Instead of faith, man substitutes that with reasoning and philosophy. Instead of the blood that takes away our sin, we look at education, psychology, those things. Religion has replaced it. My dear friend, we're so quick in time. It just seems like we just barely get started. We've looked at the table. We've looked at the lampstand. We're going to come again. My dear friend, what do you do? What are you going to do about Jesus?